To Titus chapter 1, and I want to read verse 9 of that chapter. Paul says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Our Father, as we come to the word, I do pray, O Lord, that you would open up these words to us, that you would burn them, Lord, within our hearts. May it be that your word would have real effect upon our hearts and our lives, transforming us and conforming us to the image of your dear Son. We plead, Lord, that you would grant grace as we deal with this passage, that we might deal with it correctly, and that you would give me, Lord, the words to say. Thank you for your eternal counsels as we studied this morning. To think, Lord, that from all eternity, this day, as we sit here and as we preach, has been ordained, that you have so ordered it, and it could only be because you have ordered it. And we do thank you, do praise you for the way you work. Be pleased, O Lord, to bless our time, and may we sense your presence with us. In your name, amen. Here in Titus 1, Paul has been dealing with the qualifications of pastors and their focus upon the Word of God. Titus was to see to it that elders were chosen that were truly qualified. And as he unfolds the different graces that describe and are part of a man of God called to the pastorate, he gives, besides the qualification, a caution and a word and the work that a pastor is to do. And as we come to this text, what is true of pastors is also true of all believers. We all have, without exception, the same responsibility as to the Word of God. And as we come to this passage, we want to notice, first of all, a pastor's commitment to the Scripture, which also will be true of all believers. He says in verse 9 of Titus 1, holding fast the faithful word. Holding fast, that is, have a firm grip. Holding, that is, with all of your strength. Holding, as it were, with both hands. Not carelessly with one, but as if with both hands. It is that responsibility that demands the whole heart. It demands complete effort. You are to not let go, and to be very careful to keep the truth, not let it depart from you. He gives the same exhortation to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. This is what he says. He says, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Guard what was committed to your trust. Yea, to the very word of God that's committed to your trust. You're to guard. Guarding takes much effort. Guarding takes a lot of care. That's the responsibility. You don't hold on to the Word of God loosely as a pastor, as one in this office. But what is true of pastors is also true of all believers without exception. And this is what Paul deals with in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. This is what he says. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you are taught, whether by word or our epistle. Same thing. Stand fast and hold. Do not let it go. It is to have the spirit that is mentioned in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and 23rd verse, where in Proverbs we read, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Don't let it go. You must strive to keep the Word of God. It's your responsibility as a believer that you're to hold fast to the Word of God. And be careful, because in holding fast to the Word of God, that means that you are not taken in by the tradition of men. Our Lord deals with this in Matthew, the 15th chapter, and verse 7 of that chapter. He says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For only in the context of God's commands can you worship aright. And so you worship in vain if your worship is guided by and directed by simply the doctrines of men, what men think and what they say. Also, in Colossians, listen to the Apostle Paul once again. In Colossians, the 2nd chapter and verse 8, we read these verses where where the Apostle again deals with this. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to what? The tradition of men. Tradition of men. And so much that is taught and so much that is preached, when analyzed and carefully scrutinized, a lot and some is simply the traditions of men and does not come from God. Some of the areas that's considered gospel holiness, some of the rules and commandments that are given that's supposed to be coming from God are nothing more than simply a command from a denomination and from men themselves. You are to guard against, you are to hold fast the Word of God. And as a pastor, the responsibility in verse 9, Titus 1, is holding fast, not letting go, gripping it with both hands. Now, why does he say this regarding a pastor? Is it an easy thing? Is it like, well, it's so easy for you to tell and stay on the truth and not deviate from the truth? It's just so simple. I mean, we have the Bible and you study it and there it is before you, and so there's actually should be no problem. Not so, says the Apostle. Why? There have been many who have departed from the truth, and according to their works, they show how they have resisted the Word of God. You see that in 2 Timothy and in the last chapter, as it were, in chapter 4, where Paul says in verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him. Why? For he has greatly resisted our words. There's something to it when you resist the words of Almighty God. And you resist the words of Almighty God when you don't implement them. So you listen to them and you hear them and occasionally you look at them, but you resist them when you don't put them into practice, when you don't believe, when you don't hold fast. And holding fast means you implement. So how is that among those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? When you read Holy Scripture, when you hear the Scriptures preached, when you have that before you, and yet you really don't do, you nod your head and you say, yes, I believe, oh, that's good, but you really don't do it. No, a pastor is to hold fast firmly to the Word of God, because it can soon slip, because it can soon go. How many have started out right and in poorly? And as well, all believers, 2 Thessalonians 2:15, we are exhorted to hold fast to the tradition. You can't hold fast to the tradition if you don't even look into the tradition. How are you going to hold fast? What do you hold fast to? What is it? What is it that you hold fast? If you're holding fast, that means that you are implementing what you are holding, what you have in your hand. Secondly, pastors must pay attention lest the truth slip away. Listen to how the Apostle Paul directs Timothy. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, these words, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Give attention. Pay attention to the truth. Be very careful with the truth. And pay attention that you are truly reading the word aright, exhorting aright to the doctrine that you are teaching. Notice again in the same chapter in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, he says this to Timothy, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Take heed to yourself. That is the most important thing. Those are the graces, because you must be a godly man. But secondly, take heed to the doctrine. Why would you say that to Timothy? Timothy was a very godly man. Timothy was one that was Paul thought so highly of. He says, everybody else departs, but Timothy has stuck with me. He is a faithful son in the labors of the ministry. And yet he says to him, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Because, you see, it is so important that we maintain proper understanding and the truth that can so easily fall away. What does the Lord Jesus Christ say regarding us as the people of God? Listen to what he says in Luke the 8th chapter, And he says this in verse 18 of Luke 8. He says, therefore, take heed how you hear. Why is it that the Lord says time and again, take heed how you hear? Why? Lord, don't you know I'm a believer? Of course I'm going to take heed. Sure, I'm taking heed. Yet, time and again, he says, take heed. When he talks to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, those who have ears, let them hear, is what he says constantly to the people of God. Why is it that he says that? Because what we hear so often is not what we look at carefully as to whether it is sound doctrine, and then if it is sound doctrine, that we implement what it says. Why is it that the Word of God can be preached so often and can be preached time and again, and the Word brought to the heart, and yet so very little transformation, so very little action is taken by the people of God? Why is that? Not paying attention. Not hearing with the ears of the Spirit of God. So, when Paul deals with the Galatians, Paul taught the Galatians. He taught them the truth. And if anybody can teach the truth, it is the Apostle Paul. Anybody can bring out the Word of God, it's the Apostle Paul. Clear, distinct, understanding the will of God. And he says in Galatians 5 that after speaking and teaching to them, he comes back to them and he says this in Galatians 5 and verse 7. You ran well. Who hindered you from what? Obeying the truth. You were running well. You were paying attention. You were listening. You were hearing. You were doing all of these things. And you were holding fast to the Word of God. But there come a time. But there comes those among you. But your own carelessness, your own coldness, you're departing, you're not looking at the Word of God. Holding means to the Word of God is that you're in the Word of God. You're laying hold of the Word of God. So you are running well. You are really persevering. But now, who's hindered you? You slow down. Not so much anymore. Not so much anymore. If there is something that you want to go to see, that really interests you, you'll make time to see it. And you will go there. And you will go there as often as that item is presented, because that's what you want to do or hear. But when it comes to the Word of God, not so much. Yeah, I will hear it. Yeah, but I won't take every opportunity to hear it. I don't need all of that. I just need simply to hear once in a while. That's it. And the apostle is saying, no, no. Whenever the Word of God is taught or preached, I'm there. It's just like any other thing in life where I'm obligated to do, I will be there. When I'm obligated to do, I will make the time to be there. And when the Word of God is preached, oh, that is where I desire to be. And so I'm running. I'm running in the course of the way of Christ and the Word. I am running in that great desire to learn and to know. I want, as it were, to lay hold of Scripture. I want not to depart from it. I want that my life is a reflection of what God's Word says. And so that is so vital to me and so important to me. And so that is how I treat the Word of God. Listen, it is so easy. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. Why is it that God has given pastors? Why is it that in Titus 1:9, these are the qualifications, this is what a pastor should be? Why is it that God brings that about? It is for this, in Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. It's amazing how we have access in our day. Radio, internet, this and that, and we're just to and fro, and we're listening, and we're just captivated maybe by the voice of a man, maybe by the style of a man, maybe by just how we feel on that day, and we're just tossed here and there, as it were, with every wind of doctrine. So easy just to trick us. Why? Because we are not, as it were, holding fast to the Word of God as we ought. So the apostle is very concerned that when he lays down the qualifications for a pastor, that he includes this aspect of holding fast to the Word. And likewise, when he deals with the people of God, that as the people of God, all believers, that's what we should do. And then thirdly, the pure Word of God is the means of conveying the truth. And since that is so, and since it is most often by the preaching of the Word of God, we must handle it with great, great care. So what does he say to Titus as he instructs him? He says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, as the Spirit of God teaches, as he hears the Word of God. And how does he hear? Yes, by the Spirit of God showing as he engages in the Word of God. But here in particular, as he's been taught. One of the primary means by which God conveys His truth is through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. The pure Word of God is the means of conveying this truth. And so when Paul argues regarding this, what does he say in Romans, the 10th chapter, in verse 14 of that chapter? What does he say? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That which you were taught, Titus, these men must hold fast to the tradition and to the Word of God that they have been taught by the Spirit of God, or by those who are preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, looking in to the Word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? Now, that's not the only way, obviously, but that is the primary, and that is the prominent way in which we do hear. He goes on to say, how shall they preach unless they are sent? Certainly. And that is what Paul is concerned with in Titus 1 in the first chapter. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so you must be careful, Titus, that there are men who hold fast to the faithful word, and as they've been taught, they preach. They preach carefully that word. They preach the good news. They preach what you say. So it isn't their own understanding. So it isn't the tradition of men, but it is that which is edifying to the people of God. And of course, Paul deals with that in 1 Corinthians 14 when he says in verse 3 of that chapter, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." When he speaks, if according to what he's been taught in Holy Scripture, edifying. He builds up. He nourishes the people of God. He brings the exhortations that are needed, the comforts that are needed. He edifies. Therefore, there is great pain that is to be taken by those in ministry as a pastor. Listen to what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17 of that chapter. He says, "Let the pastors or elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who what? Labor in the word and doctrine." It's not an easy thing to preach the Word of God. It's not an easy thing to read the Word of God. It's not an easy thing to study the Word of God. There must be much work and much labor in it. Labor because, you see, you want to hold fast to the Word. You don't want anything in that whole ministry of communicating the Word that is just simply you, is simply what you think, is simply your opinion. But you want to be able to say, "Thus saith the Lord." So you are laboring, and not only laboring, but in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Be diligent, because you see, when God looks upon a man, he looks upon the man who he calls into the ministry to be faithful, approved. So you're not seeking to be approved of men, but you're seeking to be approved of God. And what does that entail? It entails a rightly dividing the word of truth. And so that is with us as believers. We are to labor in the Word of God. We are to scour the Word of God and look very carefully, not carelessly, not simply to fulfill a duty of simply reading the Word of God, but actually pursuing the Word of God in a way of, what does God say? I don't want to distort what He says. Remember Paul in Acts chapter 20, and verse 20, he says, "How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying Jews and also the Greeks, repentance towards faith, toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." There was a carefulness in the labors of the apostle. And that is what Paul is saying here to Titus. Men that are called must hold fast to the faithful word, must pay careful attention and careful attention as to what they have been taught. And of course, that's the question that we ask ourselves this morning. What attention do you give to what has been taught? What attention do you give? Is it just another Sunday? Is it just another message? Is it just another time around the Word? What attention do you give? Faithful to the Word of God as He has been taught. And then fourthly, what do we hold to? We hold to the living Word. That is, the Word of God. That which has been given to us by God. 2 Timothy 3:16 that has been breathed out of God, that has been inspired of God. All of the writers were given direction by the Holy Spirit. It is not their thinking, but it is what God has so set down for us. So what does the Apostle Paul say to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4? He says this, I charge you in verse 1, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach what? The Word, not a word, not some words, but the Word, that is, the Holy Scriptures, so that what you preach must be from the Scriptures. Not a storytelling time, not your opinion, not the opinions of men, but the Word of God. Therefore, you must prove from the Word of God. You must show from the Word of God. That is what we are to hold on to. It's the same thing for every believer back in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. He says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold what? The traditions, that is, Scripture, which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. You're to hold, and you're to hold that which you were taught. You're actually to do it. You're actually to incorporate it in your thinking and in your work and in your life and how you live. The tradition, the Word, and the Word only. Because, you see, this Word is the Word that gives spiritual nourishment. The Scripture says that you're to grow in grace. How are you to grow in grace apart from the Word? You can't. You can't. Spiritual nourishment is in the context of the Word being implemented, heard, received, and implemented. You see, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. Nourished. Build up. Your spiritual life will die if it doesn't get food. Your spiritual life will die if you do not feed it. And many claim to have a spiritual life, and yet they never feed it. What happens? Okay, don't eat now for the next month. Don't eat. Don't feed your children for a whole month. Let's see how that goes. Let's see how happens. Well, you say, I can't do that. Why, they would die. They would just grow so faint. So it is in the spiritual life. You're a good minister if you are one who is, that is, nourished in words of faith and good doctrine, which, what, you carefully follow. And what is true of a pastor is true of the people of God. Listen to Paul again in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, listen to what he says again. Ephesians 4 and verse 12 of that chapter talks about the Lord Christ giving pastors to the people of God. And the purpose of the pastor, as he teaches and ministers, is for equipping the saints for the work of ministry. In verse 12, that is, of Ephesians 4. For the edifying of the body, the nourishment of the body. And when the body is nourished, it will come to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If it's nourished, if it's edified, if it's built up, and that is part of the ministry, is to nourish the people of God. It's to nourish them. It's to see them, as it were, not all their lives, spiritual lives, drinking only milk. Is that not the concern of the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 5, where this is what he says regarding the people to whom he is addressing, at least some of them? He says in Hebrews 5 and verse 13, he says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Listen, he is saying, those who are simply on milk, they're like babes. Well, now, if you're a babe spiritually, because all you are on milk and not on solid food, you cannot get into the Word and read the Word and have solid food. And so you're just spiritually a babe. What happens? Well, a babe will go out in the street. A babe will put his hand on the hot stove, not knowing any better. A babe cannot take care of themselves. They can't cook. They can't do anything. A babe. So what happens when the waves of departure, false teaching of the Word of God, they can run very quickly in that way. They're babes. They don't know anything. They're babes. Just the milk, not any solid food. And so they're tossed to and fro. And so they're taken from one ministry to the other. It's what Paul says here in 2 Timothy 4, where he says in verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." No, you're just a babe. You can't endure. You can't eat the meat. It doesn't go. What is it to get deeply into the Word of God? What is it to come and exercise your mind in hearing the Word of God? No. You want all the just the little milk. You can't endure the sound doctrine. So what happens when you can't endure sound doctrine? And it doesn't go according to your desires. You see, you want a Christianity that lands you in heaven, but not a Christianity where there's a lot of work involved. You don't like that. I would like to get a job where I am paid top dollar, but I don't have to do anything. I'd love to have a job like that. To sweat and to work and to give myself in such a way. I know the desire of the flesh is always bent towards laziness, towards desires that takes the easiest path, as it were. And so what happens? They have itching ears, and they will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. It doesn't matter whether the truth is being said. It doesn't matter whether the truth is really given or not, because I'm not interested in really getting the meat of the Word, getting really nourished, really built up. All I'm interested in is holding on to my Christian faith and my Christian commitment that I've said until I get to glory. And if I can do that, that's fine. Because once we get to glory, who cares, right? Once we get to glory, why, we're in glory. Not so. No. We are to be nourished. We are to grow. We are to seek, that is, the Word of God as it's been taught, and to implement it, and will grow as we hear the Word of God will grow as we get into the Word of God. We will grow when we lay hold to the tradition and the Word of God. Fifthly, the Word of God is made effectual only through the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, we read regarding the believer that he is or she is sanctified, what? By the Spirit of God. It says, we've been chosen for you for salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, belief in the truth. Sanctification, the Spirit of God is the one who sanctifies. He's the one who opens up the Word. He is the one who instructs. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 3 and 4, it is the Spirit of God that teaches the people of God. Yes, the Spirit uses men to communicate the Word of God, but He is the one who teaches. And so, listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 3 through 4. He says, I was with you in weakness and fear, much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. So listen, it wasn't that I was so eloquent. It wasn't that I had so much wisdom. It wasn't that you're to sit and say, oh, he knows so much about the Bible. No, no, not at all. That isn't what turns you. That isn't what stirs in your heart. That isn't what makes you hurt, holy, and nourishes you. No. What is it? It is the Spirit and the power of the Spirit of God. And therefore, do we pray? How often are we upon our knees, so to speak, and are we pleading before God that His Spirit would teach us? How much? How much? If we are simply reading the Bible as far as just a religious duty to do, a lot of times we'll just come to the Bible, we'll just start reading, and we'll look at the Bible and we'll read a few things. Okay, I've read my Bible. But how much are you as a family? Does husband and wife together sit and pray and plead that God would show them, that the Spirit would enlighten them? Do believers themselves come, and is their cry constantly to God that He would show them? What does He say in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10? He says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. It is the Spirit of God who reveals. He's the one who teaches. He's the one who shows us marvelous things. In John chapter 14 and verse 26, listen again. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. It is the Spirit of God. How much do we plead before the Spirit of God that He would show us? And then lastly, our responsibility is in holding to the truth, is to make sure that those who are overseeing our soul and pastor that the Lord has given, such as is spoken of in Titus chapter 1, is one who is truly holding fast to the Word of God. He is truly one who is teaching exclusively from the Word of God. He is one that is giving what Paul says, sound doctrine, not distorted doctrine, not false gospel doctrine, but sound doctrine. And only in that context can He exhort, well, God will bless, where He can convict those who are contrary to the Word. Only in that context. He can't do it by His eloquence. He can't do it by His own strength. And it's our responsibility then to put into place those pastors who are following the guideline that is given here regarding the work of a true pastor. It's our responsibility, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. What is it that John says? But we're to test the spirits to see whether they are of God. That means that we must listen carefully. That means that we must be holding ourselves to the Word of God. That means that we are, as it were, to see whether truth is being taught or not. Listen to Timothy and to Paul, that is, as he exhorts Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Listen to what he says in verse 3. If anyone teach otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicion, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. And then he says this, from such withdraw yourself. Those who are not teaching wholesome words, not teaching doctrine which accords with holiness, you are to avoid them. And yet how many people examine pastors where they go and sit and they listen? How many people even care as long as it's just the church? Because they're there for many other reasons. They're there for their own gains and what they want to get out of it. But how many carefully scrutinize? And yet Paul says you're withdraw from them if they are not careful with the Word of God, if they're not holding fast to the truth and to the tradition. This is what we ought to do. Well, what does that all say to us this morning? Let me just give a word of summary this morning regarding the Word of God. Holding fast the Word of God is not optional, but it is a command. It's a command because, you see, sound words is always connected with godliness. You want to be a godly person, you can only be in the context of the Word of God, implementing it. And when the Lord says that without holiness no man shall see the Lord, let me ask you, do you know what holiness is? What is holiness? What is holiness? Just living a good life, a moral life, like many in our society are good people. They don't go around stealing. They don't go around doing what we would call sinful acts. Or is godliness much deeper, much involved in our relationship with God? What does He demand? Have you looked at that? Have you worried about that? Have you come to laying hold of the Word of God? And the Word of God and holding fast to it is what nourishes you. So where are you as a believer? Where are you? A babe? A small child? Maybe a young teenager? Or are you an adult in the faith? Does it bother you that it just seems like the Word of God is, well, I do like it, but it's just like something on the side, something that you can take or leave, something that it's there, but do we see that it nourishes It causes you to grow. It makes you vibrant. And do we plead with the Holy Spirit that He would teach us? Are we careful? And are we holy men and women? Those are the questions. And when Paul comes to say, now, I'm going to give you pastors. Here's the qualifications. Here are all the graces. But now, this one part is, you better have one that is holding fast to the Word of God. And only the Word of God. As He is taught, that He would not depart, and that He would, as it were, use that in a careful manner to nourish, edify, build up the people of God. If the Lord God has given such men to His church, if Christ says, these are the men that I give, and their work is handling the Word of God properly and nourishing the people of God, I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to be under the teaching. I want to be under every service. And if there's 10 services a week, I'm going to be there. I need to be there. I need to hear. I need to be nourished. And what is that going to say personally? I'm going to reserve that time to really read the Bible. I read the Bible and I'm cold. I just say, Lord, you know my heart. This isn't right. And you plead, Holy Spirit, burn the Word. Stir my heart. And you know what? We have a God who answers prayer. We have a God who delights in the cries of His people. And He will give you that desire. He will give you insight. And we read and we study. What's the most important thing when you look at this life? What is it? Think of it. Think of it this week. Everything that you have to do this week, what is the most important thing? What is the thing that takes most of your care, most of your time? And where does God fit in? Where does He fit in? Where does He have any footing in what we do? How much is it that, well, I'm just too busy. Well, okay, I'm speaking of eternity. I'm speaking of being nourished. I'm speaking of having, as it were, a life whereby I am following, persevering. I'm not being hindered. And I am growing. And I am holy before God. And I'm seeking that celestial city. That's the most important thing. Yes, I have to do things in this world to live. But I will cut things down if the need be. I need to have God work in my life. I need, because what? One thing that happens when you're converted, if you truly has come to Christ, one thing has happened, is that you love Him and you can't get enough of Him and you want to know Him. And you want to follow Him. And you want to do what He says. And that is all of your life. And whatever else is temporal will pass away. Will be in that day burned up in fire. And off it goes. And then what profit is it? What did Job say? I came into the world naked and I leave the same. What is it in all my riches? What is it in all my endeavor? But holiness. Holiness. You will see the Lord. Holiness. You will be in glory. That's what I desire to bring before you. And the burden of my own heart is what is spoken to Titus regarding pastors is equally equally important to you and I as believers. Oh, to have believers vibrant, huh? To have believers where the Lord looks down. So often in the scripture it talks about God looking down. Lord looks down, he sees they are so excited about my work, about me. They're excited about the church that I have ordered. The church, the local congregation. The Lord Jesus says, I'm the one who instituted it. I'm the one who has brought it about. I'm the one who has given all types of directions and so forth to people of God. Meet together, love one another. Here are all the different responsibilities. Join yourself, commit yourself to the people of God. I've done all this. And for God to look down and say, ah, what blessed. There they are. They're like just little ants, always working, committed into the work, in to being holy, and being that which is pleasing in my sight. May it be that God would raise up a people such as that. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you so much for your word. Forgive us for not handling it aright. Forgive us for not taking advantage of your word, not pouring ourselves into it, not reading, not studying, not seeing what you have. The great saints of old, when they search your scripture, a lifetime of labor and committing themselves, would say at the very end that they simply scratched the surface. So much you have shown us, and so much we can know. Stir up our hearts. May it be that we're a people who are nourished, built up, adults, mature in the faith. And grant to us, Lord, a real spirit of running well. To glory. We plead, Lord, for your mercy this day. In your name, amen.